Oh, taking pictures in the morning. Everyone have their cup of Joe? Why do they call it that? It's totally local podcast. Monmouth and Ocean County, colorful characters, lovely businesses, all these people dealing with things in a Zoom call. People are sick of the Zoom call. Guess what? I'm not. I'm still here. Although I do miss going to Long Branch Distillery. We're going to have to do that again soon. Aaron Levine, LG Insurance. What's up, my man?
You know, I got plaque this morning from Mr. Beach over there in his New York Yankees garb.
Oh, man.
We're not at an alcoholic distillery. That we're not at the beverage distillery right now. I'm like, it's a little early for a martini, but maybe not.
Alcohol morning martinis.
Yeah. We could do that. Evan Beach from Equity Prime Mortgage. How's it going, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. I love your fashion sense for the morning. It's festive.
Hey, baseball's back today. You got to celebrate the minor victories in this wild world. You know
what? I don't follow the sport ball. So, like, are they just don't have anybody in the stands? Is everyone wearing like some kind of prophylactic, garb? What's going on?
Yeah, no fans whatsoever. And very limited personnel in the stadiums, apparently, and the players have to sit apart and wear masks when they can in the dugouts and all that. So it's definitely different, but hey, it's something, you know.
So Joe Astorita, how's it going? You're really jumping the gun. You're really raring to go. You're a morning person, I assume.
Generally not, but yeah, you just had me fired up.
Bonfiglio and Astorita, you've been keeping busy. How are things?
We've been busy. The real estate market's still on fire. I'm seeing things I haven't seen in over my 20 years of practice happening right now. It's a wild time for sure.
What are people buying? Residential homes? Where are they buying them? Are they second homes? They're not first time home buyers, are they?
It's all of it.
What do they do? What are they thinking? There's a pandemic going on. Doesn't anyone realize?
It's wild. I mean, you know, a lot of the second home buyers are all, you know, coming down from the city and the surrounding areas, you know, just tired, I guess, about being surrounded by the four walls, and they want to get out of Dodge, and they're coming down here. That's what's happening. You know, for second homes and first time home buyers, they're out too. If they were on the fence, they're in the market right now.
Yeah, I'm noticing a lot more. Even in the summer, you see them, but now I'm seeing even more New York license plates. My goal on the parkway, if I see a license plate, I have to get past the person because you don't know what they're going to do. They don't drive like New Jersey drivers, and it makes me nervous. Guys, this is a public service announcement. Stay out of the left lane. Just stay out of the left lane. If you're going 65 miles per hour, go into the right lane. Just stay over there. It's fine over there. Don't worry. You know.
So the Long Branch Police Department put a post on Facebook, a turn signal tutorial, referencing the orange and blue plates of, here's how to use a turn signal. You know, please use it when you feel like it.
Yeah, seriously. That happened to me the other day in Belmar. I was turning and the person was coming out. And I'm like, what do you do? It was a standoff. I'm like, look, I never go. When people wave me in, I know the right of way. I know the rules. I don't do that stuff. When people are waving me in, I'm like, you go. And then I'll sit there. Then they get mad. And I'm like, I'm not going. I'll sit here all day. I'm very stubborn. Oh, anyway, enough of this traffic talk. Let's get into the fact that from my minuscule knowledge of evictions, of residential evictions, of dealing with attorneys for landlords, my understanding is you can't really, it's really, really difficult, especially in New Jersey, to evict someone. You got to have all your ducks in a row. You got to fill out forms. It takes a long time. You have to have contracts in place, stuff like that. But they put like a moratorium on even that, and people couldn't get evicted, but now they can be evicted. Now you can go back to kicking people out of residences. Is that what we're dealing with right now, people?
Well, the answer is it's complicated. How's that for a lawyer?
That's the typical attorney answer.
Hit the
stopwatch. Let's see how long Joe goes on about this.
Hit us, Joe. Come on.
I'll try to hit it in a nutshell. I mean, it's different. You know, I practice both in New Jersey and New York. It's different. Most of my New York practice is in the boroughs. In New Jersey, you know, the moratorium was in effect on evictions, but that didn't necessarily mean you couldn't file, and that had started and stopped. But essentially, you can't remove someone, but you can file. But what we're seeing happening is courts are attempting to have these things resolved, and they're trying to push people towards these settlement conferences. But the problem is, you know, not everybody's got a webcam, and they're trying to do it in all sorts of different ways, and it's different county by county. You know, so the short answer is it's complex, and a lot of it depends on where you are. So, you know, it's a case by case is how we're looking at a lot of these, but generally speaking, you still can't remove somebody until this pandemic is lifted, you know, under these executive orders. But you can bring matters forward. So it's, you know, how do you explain that distinction to somebody? Like, do you file a case? Do you not file a case? But none of that means that the money obligations go away, right? That's the other thing. And like, you know, Evan's spoken about this before, you know, in forbearances, you know, it's okay, I don't have to pay my mortgage, but that's not what it means. You could potentially maybe on a rental situation apply your security deposit, but the money obligations don't go away. So how this is all going to shake out is we're going to see in the months to come. You know, a lot of my colleagues and I talk about this tip of the iceberg kind of concept that the eviction filings are way down over last year. Oddly enough, with everything going on, you figure, imagine a lot of people haven't been paying their rent. But we're suspecting there's a lot to come because, you know, but there's a lot of uncertainty. Landlords don't know what to do. And quite frankly, do you really want to evict your tenant right now and be left with a vacant space? You know, so it's another problem you have to face. You know, you're going to be able to replace them. Depending upon where you are, it might be more likely than, you know, than other places to be able to do that easily. But, you know, that's, in a nutshell, it's a mess. Let's put it that way.
That's what I don't understand. Like, you know, I might look like a hippie, but I do not self-identify as a hippie. And to me, it's just a kind of more of a logical question where, you know, nobody has money. You're going to kick somebody out. Then you're going to be left holding the bag, basically. You know, if there's nobody there now and they can't pay, what makes you think that you're going to get somebody else in there that can pay? It just seems like a, you know, kind of not a smart move. Everything is so, I mean, we talk about this all the time. Like, it's so chaotic that there's really no one's offering a reasonable solution, is what I'm saying. Have you guys heard of any reasonable solutions to be dealing with this at all?
There hasn't been a reasonable solution since January to anything for that matter. But it all depends on where the real estate is. I have a rental property, you know, that, you know, granted, summer at the Jersey Shore is good. People have been looking and fighting to even get into rentals. We had nurses that came in that we were able to get in for 3 months while they were working at Monmouth Medical Center. And then we flipped it less than a week later for more than double of what we would normally get for it, you know, for a summer rental on a property that we would never typically do a summer rental for. That's, you know, a mile and a half from the oceanfront. So Jersey Shore is hot. You know, if there is an open rental, people are going to take it, in my opinion, especially down here. So if you can get your tenants out, there's opportunity, but who knows? Who knows? We have other tenants we can't get out. And that's a whole nother issue.
Yeah, that's a whole nother. That's an old, you know, that's been going on for a while as far as the issues with evictions, with people not paying rent, with how to get them out. How's the mortgage game going, Evan? What's going on? What are people doing right now? It's not like, you know, it's not like 07, 06 where people are getting like $800,000, loans or whatever that they can't pay back and nobody cares. Like, aren't the banks tighter now with what they're doling out? So how are people getting these mortgages?
Honestly, it depends on each and every situation is different. And yeah, I mean, once the pandemic initially hit, then, you know, we did see a shrinking of some guidelines. A lot of the larger banks really shrunk their guidelines. Wells, PNC, the larger depository institutions, I mean, unless you have a 700 credit score and you're putting 30% down on the property, they didn't want to talk to you for a while, which is crazy. That knocks out a huge portion of the market. But I mean, it's the busiest it's ever been by a long shot right now, because you have kind of a perfect storm of, you know, extremely low rates, all-time low rates. So we have still in the middle of a massive refi boom. And then in our area, in particular, we're talking about obviously rental properties being hot in our area. Somebody moves out of a rental property in Asbury Park, there's a line of 12 people waiting to take the building over.
That's crazy.
And that translates to the purchase market too, because right now we're seeing, you know, yeah, the economy, this is a spoiler alert for you guys, but the economy is not great right now.
This just in, the economy is looking pretty bad.
Breaking news. But in our area, particularly in Monmouth and Northern Ocean County especially, we're in a big bubble here, because we have a massive demand, because everybody's trying to move down from largely densely populated areas like North Jersey and the city and New York, and they're all coming down to this area. And I'm sure Joe will attest to it too. He has, you know, he's a strong iron guy, so we have all those people moving down here now too. So it's just been an influx of that. And in the beginning of this year, in the end of last year, we already had very limited inventory as far as housing goes in our area. And now the demand has shot up exponentially. I mean, the demand is doubled, tripled, and we still have very low inventory. So what that means is you're seeing, you know, properties, it's definitely a seller's market, also spoiler alert. So we're seeing properties go. It's extremely rare that a property is not selling for list price or above list price. Again, if it's priced properly, you know, somebody, you know, Joe Schmo down the block that wants to throw his 1,000 square foot home on the market for 750 grand, obviously that's not selling at list price. But if it's priced properly, everything's going at list or above, which is crazy. So you have to get that mentality for buyers right now that it's not HGTV out there. You know, it's not, you know, oh, I got this property for, you know, my realtor went in and he made moves and he got it for me for 50 grand less than what it was listed for. That's not the market we're in here, especially in Monmouth County right now. So it's been a shift as far as that goes to really train buyers that you have to go in aggressively. You have to have a very rock solid pre-approval done, which we can handle. And you have to, you know, be able to understand that you got to go list price or above if you really want to get the property. So it's been a wild time over the last 3 to 4 months, and we're every month in my company and myself too has just been sequentially record breaking months for the last 3 to 4 months.
I feel like too, this warm weather, the summer, people are kind of, we're sick of being stuck at home. It's nice out relatively. People are out, they're, you know, masking it up and hitting public spaces just because they're sick of being at home. And I'm really nervous that, like, you know, as soon as the fall hits and the leaves start falling and it gets cold and it's bleak, and there's not all these, you know, traffic going around. Like, I think, you know, the summer kind of is helping this bubble kind of stay propped up, where people aren't even looking at, you know, what the reality is and what's to come. And I don't want to get, like, you know, too dark on the podcast, but I mean, I think people really need to start considering that. I don't know where that kind of plays into all this. I don't know where this, if it's better to kind of, if you're looking for a home, is it better to do that now, or is it better to wait? If you save your money with, like, inflation, like, what are you really saving? Are you losing money when you're saving it? Is it better to just invest in a property and get the hell out? Like, you know,
money's cheap right now. You got to take advantage of the cheap money and take advantage of getting out of the urban areas, right? Right? Yeah. There's a mass exodus from the heavily densely populated urban areas.
Yeah.
What we're seeing too is more so than ever, people are now putting, they know they're spending a lot more time at home. A lot of people are working from home 100% now, so they want to own that property that has that, you know, now extra room they can turn into an office. That's been the increase in demand has been huge with that too. But to Aaron's point, money's very cheap, so it's all relative. You know, if 30-year mortgages are at 3% or even in the high twos in the right circumstance right now, that means that, yeah, properties are more expensive this year than they were a year and a half, 2 years ago, but rates are a point and a half lower than they were 2 years ago. So that translates to potentially a lower monthly payment for that property that you're now spending another 50, 60 grand more on. So it's all relative, but yeah, money's the cheapest it's ever been right now. So
it's attractive enough where people are literally walking away from their apartment leases, like in Manhattan, Brooklyn, and if they have a year left on their lease or 8 months left on their lease, they're taking the risk of walking from their lease, letting their security deposits go, and buying something down here. Maybe it's the summer attraction. Maybe it's just tired of being where they are with everything going on. And they're letting landlords chase them around. There are buildings in the city that have massive vacancies now. Tenants just picking up and disappearing on them. It's wild. You know, Devin's point about the market price. Yeah, it's absolutely true. Things are moving quick. If they're priced anywhere near a list, they're selling at list or above. Multiple bids on properties within hours of each other. I can tell you one thing that I'm starting to see are the appraisals are starting not to keep up because the price values are starting to sell so fast at those inflated prices because of this demand. We're starting to see after we get into deals, appraisals not coming in, and then it's creating some issues along the way trying to work that out.
Man.
We've seen that in recent years, but it's right now in this last 30 days in particular, I'm seeing a lot of it.
So, I mean, there's profits, there's advantages somewhere in here for the right person, the savvy person, the smart person to realize what's going on with the rates, what's going on with money, what we're looking for, what's coming up. And, I had a relative that was looking to buy a home and, you know, they don't have a lot to spend. They're thinking like their mentality is, you know, 5, 6 years, 10 years behind. And they're looking in Monmouth County, and I'm like, listen, there is nothing unless you want to go to like Keensburg and you own a sledgehammer and a toolbox and you know how to fix something up, you know, unless you want to go that route, or you know you can go into those like 55, 65 and older communities. You know, people are starting to look at towns, you know, people didn't even know of Forked River. Whiting, people are like looking in these towns and saying this ain't so bad. I'm like, that's true. That's where you need to go. You start to like really look at Monmouth and Ocean County, and that's why Totally Local Podcast covers Monmouth and Ocean County. People gave me guff about that back in the day when I started. They're like, why Ocean County? And I'm like, because I love our little stepchild to the south. I love you guys. Ocean County's the best. I love you guys. There's properties there, though, is what I'm trying to say. And people really got to start considering that, where it seems like a lot of the things that are being bought up now are a majority of out-of-towners, like New Yorkers from the city, learn how to drive here. They're coming in, and the people that are here that want to get out of their rentals, they got to start realizing that they're going to have to look in either, you know, places that they might not have thought of, like Keensburg, or they're going to have to really go, you know, for, and there are deals. There's deals further south than obviously there's no inventory in Monmouth County. Have you guys been dealing with people buying in Ocean County or? Like a lot
of time. Our office is headquartered down in Manahawkin by Long Beach Island. So, we have a stranglehold on the business down there, especially, but yeah, I've done a ton of business in Ocean County, from, you know, Point Pleasant, Brick, down further south, you know, Toms River, all the way down into, you know, Little Egg, all the way down there. And yeah, you're right. I mean, the towns like Forked River and Whiting and Bayville and all that kind of good stuff down that way are less expensive and more affordable. And quite honestly, that people now realize they're spending so much time at home that, I mean, it's not so much about specific location. If you're able to drive to the beach and 15 minutes, I mean, is it that big of a deal, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
The necessity of the commute is definitely going away.
Yeah.
Becoming less and less important for sure.
Yeah, I don't, you know, so if people are looking, they really got to break out of that mentality of like Monmouth County is like the place to be. You know, there's just this influx of people coming in, and there's even stuff not even on the water, like, you know, more inland where, you know, there's properties to be had down there, is what I'm trying to get at. As far as commercial real estate, I mean, that, like we were talking earlier, it really, nothing's really changed in the sense of evictions. You know, there was never a moratorium on landlord evictions for shopping centers, for stuff, for offices, for stuff like that, right?
Yeah, it's, I mean, the issue was court closures, right? And that's pretty much what the issue was for a while there. You know, but again, if you're a commercial landlord, you really want to be evicting your tenant? Who are you replacing them with, you know, right now? So that's another thing. You know, most often we're trying to encourage people to get together and work things out, you know, between the tenants as they're trying to reopen and, you know, get their feet under them, you know. That's what we're seeing.
So, you know, it's interesting, Joe. You know, we were on, you know, you and Evan were on, you know, 3 months ago at the beginning of all of this, and we were trying to figure out what was going on and where we were going to go. It looks like we haven't evolved or moved the needle much at all, except for regulatory, you know, and legal issues and, you know, not being able to evict and what do we do and how do we do it? Like, there's still so many unknowns out there. The only thing we know is that money is cheap. And that you can go buy, if you can go buy a house and get a mortgage, even though you're going to way overpay for your house. But on everything else, there's just still so many unknowns out there. It's kind of wild. I was on two calls the other day, both for both investment calls, one with UBS and one with Ocean First, and there was two very different outlooks on what Q4 and Q1. Are going to look like for us. One more positive than the other. I'm not going to say who is who, but one said, you know, unemployment's going to start, you know, going back down and the economy's going to stabilize. The other one said is, you know, brace yourself. We're in for a wild ride. I kind of take the wild ride. What about you, Joe?
You know, who knows? It's, you know, every day you take on the news and it's, you know, another record breaking day for new cases across the country. You know, other states are just as these explosions of new cases, of COVID cases. It's creating a lot of uncertainty. You know, one thing I am seeing is like, you know, you think about what the effect of office space would be on all this, right? With everybody working from home. What I'm seeing is like this decentralization, right? So people are getting out of the congested city areas working from home. But I have clients with smaller office spaces that were available or like a sublease available or something like that. It's becoming a little more attractive as people have now worked from home, but now they're starting to, it appears, look for a work away out of the house, like somehow to work away from home, but local to where they live. So maybe smaller office space is gonna have a bit of a resurgence. So, you know, I'm talking to some agents and they've been telling me that that's become a little more active. But I think the larger commercial, like, you know, office space industry is really looking at some tough times ahead. The outlooks, I mean, I'm not surprised that you had two very different, you know, experiences and views there. It's, you know, nobody really knows is what it is. You can look at every day is different. There's such a variety of factors. I think that every talking head on TV is trying to analyze, but I think we're all going to, you know, be rowing this boat together and finding out at the same time.
Yeah, it's really hard to see or understand. Like, you have office space. There's a ton, you know, building construction. There's office space everywhere. Retail, shopping centers. There's so many shopping centers. You drive down, you know, any major route around here, and you see a shopping center, you know, every second. And it's the combination of people working from home, people ordering stuff online. You know, what's going to happen with these giant buildings? Who are they going to put in these buildings? Why are they going to want to be there? You know, my friend went into Best Buy the other day. Not only was like the person working there just like a doofus, but, you know, it's this big, you know, 20,000, 30,000 square foot retail space. And there's like five people in there. Like, what's going to happen to all these these buildings. What's going to happen to like the landlords? I ponder these questions as I get stuck behind these New York drivers while I'm driving around, and I'm like, what's going to actually occur here? You know, nobody has a crystal ball, but the fact that these things are apparent and some people are looking at them, and we had what happened in 08 happen, and we know that things are kind of shifting right now, you're hearing people kind of what Aaron was saying, like there's people on, well, oh, it'll be fine, it's going to bounce back, or, you know, we're in for a wild ride. It's hard to kind of fathom or to allow people, you know, the opportunity to see, like, something is happening. Are you guys preparing for it, or are you just kind of putting your head in the sand? Have you guys talked to clients where they're just kind of, you know, are people ignoring this stuff? Are they taking action in any kind of direction to be like, prepare themselves? And what could you actually do about it?
I mean, from our standpoint, and I also know that I know the answer to Aaron's riddle there. I know which company was which. So we spoke about it, but from our company standpoint, and my old good buddy Steve Carpentello, who's the VP of our office, and he's a brilliant dude. I hope he's not listening to this because I don't want his head getting too big. But
Steve,
but I have a conversation with him all the time, and I tend to agree with him where he doesn't really think we've seen quite the worst of this yet, because a lot of companies are bracing and already predicting layoffs for mid fall, like a second round, a second wave of layoffs for companies, because there's going to be, and Andrew, like you said before, like it's summertime, everybody's outside, you know, restaurants are able to take over street space and see people outside. I mean, what happens when it gets to be November, December, and a lot of these seasonal businesses aren't there anymore, and they were struggling to begin with, and now they can't even put people outside, or if we have another surge of the virus here and we roll back, there's companies already bracing to do more layoffs. And I mean, there's industries that are just shattered. I mean, tourism is crushed. Airlines are an absolute mess. Airlines are completely propped up by the government right now. They're just funding them and funding them. So there's, again, inflationary issues moving forward too, because they've been printing money for the last 6 months to cover those industries. I mean, no one's flying. No one's getting on a cruise ship. Yeah. Disney World, although they opened, which was insanity. But that whole, I mean, Central Florida is based on Disney World, you know? And it's just, it's crazy to think that it's just all going to be okay. You know, I think we're not going to see any type of real repair for another year, you know, but on the bright side, what that translates to is, you know, money's probably going to stay cheap, because you can't raise the cost of money when people aren't going to be able to afford to borrow it. You know, again, we're in a bit of a bubble here real estate wise, but go out to Pennsylvania, go to Arkansas, it's not the same story.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different ball game.
The things that I see that are interesting too are, you know, when this started, the thing that I noticed kind of, you know, first was you go into a store, obviously masked up with your, you know, complete hazmat suit on, and you go into a store, and there were some that like responded immediately. They had the plexiglass up like the next day, and they started to innovate or see different ways of doing it. You know, gyms can't open, restaurants, like you're saying, are seasonal. People are going to have to start figuring out, like, can we do heated tents outside? Like, can we just have like plexiglass everywhere? Like, the people that are moving in that direction, or at least scrambling in that direction, are I think going to be advantageous, you know, as much as anyone could be in this situation. And the people that are just kind of, like I said before, burying their heads in the sand, or they're not looking at the bigger picture as far as, you know, I think a lot of the industries that are out there that are seeing that, oh, my workers, don't need to be in the office or don't want to come to the office, and the retail stuff where they're just like, oh, you know, people are ordering this stuff online. You know, if people got to shift this around. I love the fact people are going out. I love the fact that Rooney's has a 2-hour wait right now. But I'm really like, you know, I'm really concerned about, you know, if people aren't paying attention to, you know, this is just now. Part of it, I guess they're just scrambling. They're like, oh, crap, I got to make money. I got to hustle. I got to do it now. But a lot of people maybe aren't even looking at the bigger picture.
John's on and not complain that the soup is cold.
Exactly. But I also think you have people, I mean, you have states. You have Florida, Texas. I mean, they are right now where New Jersey, New York was in March. So think about that time frame. How long, I mean, where we're at now, it took, you know, it took us 4 months to get here, and the Northeast is by far ahead of the rest of the country with quelling this whole thing. And so where does that leave those states that are hotbeds right now? I mean, they can't just flick a switch and say, cool, yeah, we're back. We're good, guys. You know, so I just think it's a little naive to say that, you know, oh yeah, quarter four, we're going to be rocking and rolling. And, you know, I don't see it. I think it's going to be a little bit more of a gradual repair than what people are anticipating.
But I think you're right. I think, you know, if you're going to survive this thing, you got to innovate. You got to think of new ways to get in front of your clients or customers. You got to make it safe and attractive, prolong your periods of time that you can be open. You know, to your point, yeah, you're in a restaurant, you got outside space, you got a tent. Get some heaters in there if you can. And as long as you can do it, you know, get it done. Because that's the only way you're going to have people sitting there, you know, come November or December, if you can, you know, and, you know, absolutely right. I think it's going to be an interesting ride. I'm curious to see where the housing market's going to be going, you know, as the summer starts to fade out, right? As people, do they know if their kids are going back to school or not, you know, and where putting their kids in school, and are they virtual? Are they home? Are they going in shifts or whatever? A lot of those decisions are being made in the next, you know, couple of weeks here. And they're basing that on the information they know now, which might change in a couple of weeks. So who knows?
Absolutely.
I can't even, like, you know, I've got a 7-month-old at home, and I can't even, like, imagine having to figure out the whole school thing. Either having to teach my kids stuff that I probably should have learned, or you know, having to send them into a school with God knows who wearing some kind of gas mask. You know, it's everything's shifting. Have you guys, you know, as far as you doing your business, we've talked about this before, like, you know, virtual signings or interacting with the clients. How is that, like, Joe, how is that going so far with you? Has it smoothed out? Do you have a process now? And are you going to, like, are you going to, like, continue that process into the future?
It's the new norm. It's absolutely the new norm. I mean, to a certain level, there was electronic document signing and delivery before all of this, but it has now become so much more widespread and acceptable that it's not even a question that's going to continue. Clients prefer it. Like, I can send a document through a service like DocuSign or something like that, and clients are using it, and they're thrilled with it rather than the clunky way of sending a document, you know, signing it, taking pictures, or going with scanner or some other way to get it back to us. And, you know, with busy lives and everybody's on the go all the time, despite, you know, this pandemic, it's much more convenient and workable. Most of my closings right now are virtual in nature. Mm-hmm. Like, so, like, we've talked about this before, but I'm having a client in a clean room in a settlement agent's office or outside somewhere, and we're virtual like this. And I'm looking at the documents on my screen that they have in front of them, and we're going through them page at a time, just as if I was sitting there.
Evan, is it the same for you? Are you doing the same kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, title companies, attorneys have all gone that road, and I think it was going to be eventually it was going that direction anyway. But this just made it go at a breakneck speed. Mm-hmm. So I agree with Joe 100%, and I do a lot of business with Joe and other title companies that work. You know, Matt with Two Rivers, he's been kind of at the forefront of trying to get the electronic signatures and packages taken care of. He was doing that a year ago. You know, now here we are, and it's really just gone warp speed. But yeah, I mean, I've done I feel like I have a closing every other day right now, and it's all been it differs from purchase to refi, but you know, like Joe's saying, for purchase, the clients are can do this with him over Zoom. I mean, refi, we have title companies going to, can still go to people's homes, slide the documents under the door and sit in their car and FaceTime them. You know, it's just, everybody's adapted, you know, very well, because it was basically an adapter or your business is dying, you know? So yeah, I mean, it's been, I think it's going to make business easier in the long run. And I think it's a good thing. It's made people adapt.
What I'm, you know, I don't want to use the, you know, how are the boomers doing? I don't want to use the pejorative. Like, how are the baby boomers doing? Are we just seeing a lot of like screenshots of their foreheads? Are they not understanding how the microphone works? I worry about the boomers out there. I think we should do another PSA, not just for the New Yorkers, but for the baby boomers out there, and seeing if they need help. If we need to, is there a hotline we could set up? Like, have you found that the older generation doesn't understand what reboot means and how to reboot their computer? Are they like, I had somebody the other day like send me their password to Facebook and be like, I can't figure this, you just do it. I'm like, don't do that. And the second thing I told them was, don't use 123 in your password ever again, please. That's another PSA. Have you guys been dealing with like people just getting so frustrated because they hate technology and they don't like all where this is going?
I deal with it on a daily basis, because I'm dealing with people from start to finish, where, you know, if somebody's, you know, retiring and buying a place in Florida or something, and they may be 60, 70 years old, what have you, and they're not as tech savvy. And where our platforms are now being pushed to being tech savvy, where all of our applications are online, you know, like Joe said, most things can be e-signed or DocuSign. So yeah, we just have to adjust. You know, there's certain clients that don't go on a computer, and we have to, you know, UPS them packages.
Pony Express.
Yeah. So one of my good buddies referred his father, who needed to have UPS packages sent to him. He may or may not be on this call right now.
We love you guys. We love you guys.
But no, I mean, it's just, we can adapt it to however each and every client, you know, needs to get it done. But yeah, I mean, obviously the first time home buyers are millennials, and they want everything in the palm of their hands. So you have to have the apps and everything, right on the phone at their fingertips, and have them. I mean, it's pretty wild. You can just go on your phone and I could send you an application. You can pull up all the documentation we need, from tax returns to pay stubs to W-2s, all on your phone, and upload it. So you technically wouldn't even need to go onto an actual computer and do it. It's pretty wild stuff, you know, but yeah, I mean, we can adapt.
Yeah. Surprisingly, a lot of my more elderly clients seem to have figured out this whole Zoom thing.
Oh, thank God.
I think a lot of it might've been, you know, because they've been home, separated from their kids, their grandkids, and haven't been able to visit in person. You know, maybe they're in Florida, maybe they're somewhere else, or even down the block and just not able to see each other. A lot of them figured it out. You know, I've done a lot of consultations and meetings with, you know, we also do estate planning in my office. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing a lot of that kind of work with clients, you know, looking to update their estate plans, and doing it like this. And surprisingly, they're logging on to this, you know, picking up the Zoom invites, logging in and making it work. You know, I think the larger difference for me is that my more elderly clients prefer to get documents sent to them, mm-hmm. in hard paper. They don't want the electronic PDF format. It's harder for them to scroll and like get through it. But connecting, they're seemingly working it out for the most part.
That's great.
So that, yeah, it was a good thing.
Are you guys dealing with a lot of like as far as DocuSign? Were you guys using that before all this? And is it difficult? Is it difficult to annotate stuff and keep it all in order? Or are electronic signatures kind of, they've worked it all out, and it's an easy go at this point?
Super easy. We were using it in a much more limited capacity before mm-hmm. COVID and all that, because most people weren't too familiar with it yet. Mm-hmm. That changed in an instant when this all happened. So, absolutely. And it's been a very seamless transition for us to implement it more, firm-wide.
Yeah, as soon as somebody has an account set up and they have their, you know, their signature and it's been verified and they've done all that, I mean, like Jeff said, it's pretty seamless and it's way easier.
So Aaron, we were talking the other day and you know, business has been steady, it's picked up, it's been kind of busy from what you said before. Are you dealing with a lot of like residential, like first time home buyer kind of stuff? Is this like referral stuff from real estate agents? And are you seeing all of these New Yorkers coming in? Is like what kind of business have you been dealing with recently?
Listen, I am not a Benny go home kind of guy.
I'm not either. Come on in, just stay in the right lane.
Benny, come on in, use your turn signal.
Buy something.
Life is good. You know, so yeah, business has been good. Thanks to Joe and Evan for being able to refer their clients and trusting them in my hands for their business and personal needs. But yeah, we're getting a lot of new home buyers moving into this state, so it creates a lot of opportunity for us to educate those home buyers on what's going on when they're moving from a rental in Brooklyn to buying a real house with maintenance issues, you know, here in Monmouth County in New Jersey. But you know, thank God the residential side of the business is very good. The commercial side of the business is a little bit weird right now, as you know, we got through our changes and reductions in revenues and commission givebacks and premium givebacks. That we're all done with that for the most part. Now we just got to get through this summer. But I've got a couple of clients that are opening some new businesses. People taking that risk to really pivot and make some good moves. We have a few new restaurants coming in because if you figure out that takeout and to-go model and work it into a good rental situation, you can be fine, you know. But when you rely on just having those seats inside, that's where you tend to struggle. But if you can figure out the takeout, the 25% capacity, those issues, the outdoor dining, you know, you can definitely operate a very successful business. You just buy less furniture for inside. You know, it's all about the outside. Save some money and position it into the digital and make things happen. But the insurance marketplace is weird. We've talked about EPLI, right? The employment practices liability and the cyber. You can't buy EPLI now. It's if you have it, great. You can keep it, and there's other companies that we can remarket to. But if you're just saying now, hey, during COVID time, I'm afraid of getting sued. Well, you're too late. You're not going to be able to buy it. I even have a new business opening up that we can't even sell it to a brand new business because they have no history or experience. And the insurance companies just don't want to take a chance on anybody new at this time. So it's definitely going to be a little bit wild out there as COVID claims start to shake out over the next couple of months. And people are going to have to take higher deductibles to transfer that risk back to themselves for a little bit more. And we'll just continue to see where it rolls and stay on top of all these industry and market changes.
Are there...
Yeah, it's all eyes on government. I was just going to say, I mean, let's see what Congress does. They're talking about passing all sorts of potential employer immunity to these type of certain claims related to COVID and all that. So see what happens the next couple of weeks.
On the national side, so, you know, I'm very involved in our industry association, Professional Insurance Agents of New Jersey and National. We don't believe, based on conversations that our lobbyists have had, that any of this is gonna pass. They're going to wait until the courts kind of settle things out before they pass anything to protect any employers here. So it's going to be... We'll see. Hopefully employers get protected, but who the hell knows? It's up to you lawyers.
have you guys, like Aaron, have you seen any kind of questions because of the pandemic and everything that's going on right now, the economy? Have clients come to you with questions that you usually don't hear or haven't heard in the past? Are people asking, you know, certain questions in regards to insurance when it comes to everything that's going on right now?
Nothing out of the ordinary. You know, we've gotten a few questions with landlords saying, hey, I can't get my tenant out, I'm not getting any rent, can I put in a claim? And it's the same as the business interruption claims for the business for a business, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you have no physical damage, you have no claim to put in.
Okay.
Is really what it's come down to. And there was already an early court ruling from a restaurant case for the business interruption that said, you know, you sustained zero physical damage. You don't have a claim against the insurance company for your business interruption. So same thing with a landlord tenant paying, not paying rent is not a valid claim, you know, against your landlord policy.
What about people buying like new homes, people coming from Brooklyn being like, what's with this flood insurance? Like, are people like, do they not understand? Like, when it comes to flood insurance, they don't get it. Like with the ocean, have you kind of imparted onto them or I guess, you know, maybe their attorneys, real estate, or maybe their mortgage, I don't know, but like to consider.
It's either the attorney or the realtor that says, you know, this home is potentially in a flood zone. Mm-hmm. Please reach out to Aaron and have a conversation about it. And so we work through some of those kinks. Hopefully it doesn't get to the lender, because that's like the 11th hour. The lender's like, oh, we need your flood insurance. You know, you don't want the homeowner being like, what? I need flood insurance now. And that could be a disaster.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we try to pick that up.
Good lender stays ahead of it. But
absolutely,
you know, right, Joe? I mean, you put that in your contract early on that there could be a flood hazard risk. You want to get ahead of that, because that's a potential, that's an error, that's an E&O issue for all of us.
Yeah, as soon as we get out of attorney review, it's one of the first things we search for to see, you know, what the flood maps are and how the property might be affected and so forth. And you know, most of my review letters, and you know, for New Jersey contracts, will say something along the lines of, if it's in a flood zone, then we can cancel if we didn't know. And it required flood insurance. But if we know going in that it is, then I still try to put in terms in there that will allow the buyer to still conduct some due diligence, right? Because you want to see what's this flood insurance going to cost. Hey, what's this flood insurance to your point, right? What's this all about? So, you know, you try to get elevation certificates to see how you know, the elevation of the property relative to the floodplain and so forth, and then get some pricing on it. Aaron's excellent at that. He's helped out a lot of my clients over the years with pricing out, you know, getting much better rates than they're accustomed to seeing. So
we try to nip that in the bud even earlier. If I have somebody that's pre-approved and they're looking at properties, they're sending me the listings ahead of time, and I'm working up numbers as far as what monthly payment, you know, what monthly payments may be and what funds to close may be. And obviously I know the area very well. So if I know somebody's looking in, you know, Point Pleasant or, you know, Point Pleasant Beach or something, I know that there's going to be flood insurance. We want to know that up front, because it can affect our approvals too. If somebody now needs a flood policy we weren't aware of, and it's $3,000 a year, that could throw our debt to income ratios out of it, them being even approved anymore. So we try to nip that in the bud ahead of time. And I'm sure Aaron loves when I hit him up for flood quotes from the people aren't even under contract yet, but
so
we try to nip that early.
It's part of the process, right? We like to help as many people out as we can, and at the end of the day, and for the most part, it turns into a sale. So we get to make money, even though we'll quote 4, 5, 6 different homes for somebody. Sometimes it becomes a lot of work, but that's also part of the trust building exercise and being an expert that people can rely on.
So.
Flood's a weird one too, because flood, it can be $1,000 a year, it could be $4,000 a year, you know. So you got to make sure that it's nailed down tightly and you have a proper quote for sure.
If you've never dealt with a flood either, you know, you definitely want that insurance, because I've been through my entire life. I've been through quite a few, and it sucks when, you know, not only do all your crap is ruined, you know, then you get the mold, you get all these problems. So, I don't want to, I can't stress that enough, especially around here.
We'll have a good chat about flood next week when we're down in the lowlands of the highlands at the Chubby Pickle for our happy hour edition.
Oh, yeah.
How do we get the 8:30 a.m. slot? You guys are doing a happy hour next week.
Hey, come on by. We'll be at the Chubby Pickle.
Live studio audience. We'll get you on.
I can't, that'll be very interesting. I mean, I think that was my first flood might have been 86 down in Highlands. I'm from H-Town, so it'll bring back a lot of memories. You know, I want to thank you guys for being on once again. I find this stuff very informative. I think a lot of people like me have no idea what the hell's going on, and they have a lot of questions. And I think by sitting through stuff like this, you kind of pick up on it. Is there any kind of, for your industry, for your clients, for people that are thinking about new homes or, you know, how to deal with their office space, anything from residential to commercial or in between, is there any kind of wisdom or any kind of just a little tip that you could kind of impart on us before we wrap it up and go have our third cup of coffee? Evan, you got anything to say about that?
Yeah, I touched on it earlier, but the validity of people's pre-approvals when they're trying to purchase houses right now is of the utmost importance. So you really need to have a strong pre-approval that that can help you win the bid for the property that you're putting the offer in on. It's very important to have all the finance ducks in a row, because a seller has the pick of the litter of who they want to buy their house right now. If it's priced like we talked about earlier, if it's priced properly, there's going to be 8, 9, 10 offers. And they're then going to look at, okay, not only who's the highest offer, if you have, you know, two that are at the same offer, they're then going to go to the pre-approval and what kind of contingencies there are at the pre-approval, if they need to sell a house or not, how much money they're putting down, what the loan program is, who the lender is that pre-approved them, is all very important. So that is number one in the market right now, as far as I'm concerned, about people even trying to get bids won and get under contract. So very important.
Joe, what you got for me?
Well, I mean, if you're a buyer and you're gaga about the house, move fast and don't wait. Do not hesitate because somebody is right in line behind you making an offer on that same property. You got to move quickly. I can't tell you how many deals I'm getting in starting attorney review, and an hour after I get the contract to even start to review it, there's already another bid that came in that outbid my client. And it's
crazy.
It's the realtors are, you know, they're calling us right away. Hey, get this out of review as quickly as you can. We want to make sure this deal is solid so we keep it, because it's multiple bids. That's on almost every transaction we're handling right now. So you got to move quick. If you really want that house, you got to move fast.
What do you got for us, Aaron?
I mean, that's great information. I mean, it's the real estate market's hot. Let's buy some houses, buy some insurance. Life seems to be pretty damn good in a hot real estate market for this group over here. So we'll just continue to ride the wave, and hopefully the economy picks back up, and we're going to be good. But I'm just looking forward to continuing our totally local journey, seeing how things continue to evolve. And we'll circle back with Joe and Evan again, you know, in a couple of weeks and see what's new and next.
A friend of the show, Mike McHenry, wants to know if he should put in a pool. As a friend, Mike, I'm going to say put in a pool.
Absolutely.
But, you know, as far as the construction costs, the insurance, you know, you're going to have to talk to some different people, especially with the insurance. You're going to have to talk to Aaron over at LG Insurance.
Local poolside edition.
Pools are like boats. You don't want to have one. You just want to know somebody who has one.
Exactly. So, Mike, go for it. We definitely want you to have a pool. I don't know what the rules are in Asbury Park, but I'm sure you could squeeze one in there. Definitely go for it. And for all you out of towners, it's Forked River. It's not Forked River. I don't know why, but you know, look into it. Look into Whiting if you want to move to Jersey and you don't know where to go and nothing's available. Check it out. Anyway, guys, this is totally local, as you well are aware at this point. I mean, come on. Check us out. Totally_local_podcast on Instagram. Go to the website, totallylocalpodcast.com. Obviously, check us out on Facebook, Totally Local, Totally Local Podcast, all that stuff. Aaron Levine, LG Insurance. We got Joe from Bonfiglio Astorita, and Evan Beach. Thank you guys so much for being with us again. Evan Beach, Equity Prime Mortgage. Sorry, I had to get that in there. If you guys have any questions, please reach out to these guys, because they know what they're doing and they know what they're talking about. Everyone, enjoy the rest of your day and have some more coffee.